Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:20 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is December 3rd. Today we had a relatively active day in markets in terms of news. In Asia this morning, the Hang Seng was down by about 1.2%, and that's a key reversal. So follow through tomorrow would suggest at least, well, we at present have definitely a short-term peak, and it's the upper side of a range which has been in evidence now for nearly a year. Follow-through tomorrow would confirm that the supply side has more than very temporary dominance, and a break of the 21,000 area would suggest that we're going to be in for considerably more ranging by the Hang Seng. So what happens in the next week or two is going to be pivotal. Elsewhere in Asia, the ASX was strong in here, and a number of the ASEAN markets pushed on to new high ground. And the Nikkei was up a tad at 0.13%, and the yen was a little bit stronger in the close in here today. And Europe was relatively positive, and not least because the Greek buyback of its own debt and Dutch auction has proceeded along more or less along the projected course, and that raises the possibility that the nadir for the Europeans' troubles has probably passed, and it's probably more now a question of convalescence rather than crisis. The European banking sector lost its gains into the close as US manufacturing data came in rather weaker than expected, and the Dow Jones finished down on the day by about a half a percent, maybe a little bit less than that, the Nasdaq by about a quarter of a percent. Both the Mexican and Brazilian markets were up today in excess of 1%. Today was also notable on the news front because following, well, the debate over the resolution to the fiscal cliff continues, and there's a great deal of cut and thrust going on. So President Obama came out with his proposal last week, and the Republicans came back with their riposte in here today. And hopefully there'll be some form of compromise and the fiscal cliff will be averted. Now, what we've had in the last 3 and 4 weeks has been a very steep decline a month ago following the election, and an equally steep advance to an extent that a considerable number of indices have returned right back to the upper side of their ranges. And of course, this represents the first area of potential resistance, and short-term overbought conditions are evident. So some consolidation of what have been very powerful gains in the very short term is becoming likely in here. The DAX is right up at its peak, and although it was a little bit firmer in here today, it does look like it is in need of at least a little pause in here. And the FTSE is pushing right back up to the upper side of its range, and it's at 5,871 right now. And the upper side of what's been an 18-month range is in the region of 6,000, which isn't that far away. But the short-term overbought conditions that we have in so many of these markets suggests that we could get some consolidation. Now, we have seen a number of markets in Europe breaking upwards to new highs for the year. And the Austrian market in particular is becoming a little bit overbought right now, but it has been such a remarkable performer that provided these markets can hold about half of their recent gain on any kind of pullback that they might get, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. In the commodity markets, oil rallied rather impressively in early trading, but gave up the entire advance and finished pretty much flat on the day. And gold, which was as high as 1722 at one point today and almost 1723, closed out today relatively unchanged. And palladium was up about 4, and platinum was up about 4. But again, platinum had paired its advance. And silver was up about 42 and also paired its advance. And in the soft commodities sector, soybeans continues to rebound, but it has had such a pullback over the last couple of months that this might be nothing more than a relief rally within the context of a medium-term downtrend. It'll have to find support at a progressively higher level on the next pullback to really suggest that demand is back in the driver's seat. Perhaps more constructive is the action that we're seeing in the sugar market. And white sugar in London was up by $7 in here today. And that's more than a percent, and it's coming from a rather low level. And cotton has also been firming. And orange juice continues to look like it's in a base, and it's at the upper side of that base at present. And the industrial metals, which have been rallying so very impressively over the last 3 and 4 weeks, have also developed short-term overbought conditions, and there was a little bit of weakness in that area today. Nickel was down by about 150, but not to any great extent, and the momentum that has been driving this market is probably still in force. And in the Treasury markets, US Treasuries were as low today as 149, but closed out the day closer to 150, and I think actually at 149.26. So they paired almost their entire decline and are pushing back up towards the 150 level. We've had a bit of a pullback, and there's been a number of contract changes across the government bond sector. And when we've had this rollover of contracts, and it is generally a moment of indecision, and it forces a decision on investors whether they're going to roll forward or take their profit or close out a position. So people are now starting to look and think about what they're going to do with their government bond positions. And given the fact that we've had such a fantastic rally over the last couple of weeks in the stock market, and there is the potential that we're going to get a bit of additional volatility, not least because the fiscal cliff is still very much a potential cause for anxiety. And we've had such an impressive rally without any real concrete evidence that the compromise is in, that there is the potential for surprises in here. And we're likely to have a volatile month of December, even though the last couple of weeks of November have been really very positive indeed. And the dollar was a bit weaker in here today, and pretty much across the boards. And the euro is now pushing above the 130 area, and it's closing out the day at 130.54. And the British pound is back above 160, and the Australian dollar is holding in here at 104.23. And it is interesting that at the chart seminar last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago now, there was one of the delegates from Australia was pretty ambivalent about the strength of the currency because it was putting such pressure on the domestic economy. And the RBA is aggressively lowering interest rates in here in an effort to promote growth. And the domestic economy really is hurting from the strength of the Australian dollar. But one of the reasons that people are buying the Australian dollar is certainly for yield, and that yield is compressing. But the other reason that people buy the Australian dollar is because they see it as leverage to the commodity complex, but also because the Australian economy and the Australian government is a AAA rating, and it's one of the developed economies that probably deserves a AAA rating. So that is one of the reasons that people are buying it. And the relative strength of the currency is really quite impressive. And the chances are that it's going to hold above, or at least in the region of parity against the US dollar, for a while longer, and potentially even get higher than that if China ever sorts itself out. And there was a further deterioration in the Chinese market today. And some of the sectors, and particularly those that are leveraged to the consumer, have pulled back very sharply. And I posted in comment of the day today the CSI Consumer Staples Index, and that's been accelerating lower, and it broke down from its year and a half range in here today. And while it is oversold in the very short term, it really does need a clear upward dynamic. And the fact that Yum! Brands pulled back so very sharply on Friday, and that is so dependent on its Chinese sales, that it does suggest that the consumer is coming under trouble, or is coming under pressure. And we've had such a tightening of policy and a focus on attempting to stamp out speculation in the property markets that it is feeding through into the wider economy. And if they do want to avoid a much deeper reaction, then we're going to have to see an easing up of the tightening bias, and not by any token measure, but in a real meaningful way. And that doesn't have to be a big spend on infrastructure development. It would be much more positive if it was focused at easing the burden on the consumer and helping to promote that area of the economy. But until we see that, then the trend is still downward. And until we see the Shanghai A-shares breaking its progression of lower rally highs, we won't have concrete evidence that the demand component is back in the driver's seat. So China at present does represent an additional threat. And it's not something that a great many people are thinking about when we look at the fiscal cliff and the improving perceptions that are taking place in Europe at present. So China is certainly something that needs to be watched closely. But in the meantime, the ASEAN region generally is a relative strength leader, and we're seeing a significant number of those countries and country indices hitting new highs. And it is worth mentioning that as the Chinese economy has become progressively more high cost, that a lot of the low cost manufacturing has migrated, and it's migrated to a number of those countries in the ASEAN region that are doing so very well right now. And that is probably not a coincidence, and that's probably really worth watching. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.